WZEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal immigration agents say they arrested nearly 1,200 people in operations Monday. And ABC's Aaron Katursky in New York says the Homeland Security Secretary, Kristi Noem, was on hand for a New York City arrest.
Noem is expected to witness other immigration enforcement actions as agents detain undocumented migrants targeted for deportation. New York City is one of several so-called sanctuary cities where federal authorities are conducting operations meant to expedite the removal of millions of undocumented immigrants.
There are major questions about the future of federal aid and grants after the White House Budget Office ordered all payments paused to review if they're consistent with President Trump's policies. Social Security and Medicare are exempt. It's not clear if the president has the authority to stop these payments, which have already been approved by Congress. Norfolk Southern's going to pay $22 million to the village of East Palestine, Ohio, to settle claims from the 2023 train derailment. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. State Republicans are proposing to ban cell phones in K-12 public school classrooms across Wisconsin. The proposed legislation would require school districts to implement their own policies for banning electronic devices like phones and tablets in the classroom. Some districts have put similar policies into effect already, many of which later backed off the cell phone ban amid criticism from students and parents. State lawmakers say the trickiest part of the policy would be districts figuring out the best way to actually enforce the bans. The deadline for the annual Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Contest is fast approaching. The yearly contest, produced by the Wisconsin Technology Council, asks entrepreneurs to submit their business ideas and connects them with resources like business plan templates and networking contacts. Finalists in the contest could also receive shares of cash and service prizes. The deadline to enter the 2025 competition is Friday at 11:59 p.m. Contest applications can be submitted online at govsbizplancontest.com. A 19-year-old Duluth man is facing charges after being accused of shooting a woman during an apparent drug deal. According to court documents, 19-year-old Evan Ed Blum is facing multiple charges, including two counts of assault with a dangerous weapon. The incident occurred on January 21st, and the victim allegedly told authorities that her boyfriend had intended to sell about $100 worth of marijuana to Ed Blum. She said Ed Blum then attempted to rob them and shot at their truck about 10 times as they attempted to flee. The Duluth Housing and Redevelopment Authority has received nearly $1.4 million in state funding to build and sell single-family homes around the city. As the price of housing continues to increase amid higher demand and lower supply, the Duluth HRA plans to build 3 homes in the Central Hillside neighborhood and 12 homes in the Morgan Park area. Officials say the homes will be a mix of 2- and 3-bedroom houses and feature sustainable power sources. City officials say they need to increase housing stock to match their growing workforce. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks defeat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another win for Milwaukee, 125-110 over the Utah Jazz. Head coach Doc Rivers asked why would the refs call a flagrant 2 foul on the Bucks' Andre Jackson with less than a minute left to play.
Late in the game, my opinion, the refs are probably trying to keep the game clean. I think Sexton and they were getting into it, and honestly, I think they believe get one of them off the floor so nothing happens. So I get it. I didn't think it was a flagrant 2, but I think that's the reason.
The Bucks are in Portland tonight against the Trail Blazers. College basketball, the Badgers travel to Maryland to play the Terrapins tomorrow night. Wisconsin now ranked 17th in the nation. NFL, the Green Bay Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a contract extension, adding on an additional 2 years. Bisaccia is assistant head coach and special teams coordinator, and Luke Getsy has returned to the coaching staff as an offensive assistant. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A bit of light snow possible early. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy, highs in the mid-30s, wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, a few flakes possible after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with a low near 17. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, Wisconsin Republicans want to limit Governor Evers' veto powers. Why did they do it when they had the majorities under former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I
thought I knew that voice a couple times, but we'll get into it. 855-752-4842. Sandy can't hear. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Sandy, can you hear now?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to get into the music and why Sandy has played the music he has in a few minutes. But we've been talking about meritocracy and what it is. And so we've got some callers still on the line. I think it's a worthy conversation. I think the conversation runs deeper than the surface of the definition of what meritocracy is. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you, Cassandra. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, whenever we talk about meritocracy and organizations, what I have learned is that there is a shifting definition of who is considered worthy of appointment, advancement, etc. And there's not always a clear definition of who is
worthy,
who has merit.
Yes, right.
And who is worthy. Yeah. And I I'm a military veteran, and occasionally I follow the news in many of the military times. And I don't know if you all are aware of this, but the U.S. Navy has relieved in the last year, 18 months, 12 commanders and one commandant of the Coast Guard.
Yeah, female, the first female.
The first female.
Right.
Yes. And most of the individuals who were relieved from their command, many of them, not all, many of them were women or people of color. And the reason for removing them from command was because they did not inspire leadership in the ranks. And so my question is, how does Pete Hegseth, someone who is a major, a junior, well, a mid-rank officer, someone who has never managed any organization the size of the Pentagon, how is he qualified? How was that appointment based upon merit? And so these ideas, when I listen to conservatives and I do lean conservative in some ways, but I am willing to step back and say, this is not, your ideology and your application do not line up.
Bingo. Yeah. I mean, bingo, Cassandra. You know, so Pete Hegseth, Sandy, you want to take a kick at that can?
Well, on merit, like I said, one person's merit is another person's hypocrisy or bigotry. Certainly merit wasn't the basis on which Pete Hegseth was selected, right? I mean, as to who would be the very best person to run the Department of Defense, I'm confident that if there were a competition measured by people with objective thought, Pete Hegseth wouldn't have been even in the mix.
Hey, he might have not even made the top 100 when we're talking about, or 1,000 when we're talking about.
I don't think he makes the list.
I know. It's just true. Yet he's in a position now to meet that out, Sandy.
Right.
That's the problem with all this. Let's go to Linda from McClare. Good morning to you, Linda. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for calling. You say what? Linda, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am. Earl, I come across this word here. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but as far as merit, there's a word here. Maybe Sandy will correct me if I've got it wrong. Kakistocracy, when a government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. And that's what's happening now. We have the most incompetent people who are running the country. And the definition of a kakistocracy, in addition to all the other descriptors of it.
So, Linda, hang on, Sandy. You have you heard of that word?
Well, I haven't, happily, because it hasn't happened probably that often. But, I think that, the American public is the judge of the merit of the incoming administration and every incoming administration. And hopefully we'll do a good job of measuring the merit of what it is that we're currently being presented with, which, in my mind, has a lot to prove. You know, I'm definitely from Missouri as to whether or not this incoming administration reflects any sort of merit.
Hey, Linda, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning. I guess we have a very different ideology when it comes to this. And, you know, I have looked at his background, Pete Hegseth. And, you know, the guy went to two elite schools. He went to Harvard. He went to Princeton. He served in the Army. Went to battle. He's familiar with a lot of the nuances of the military. And, you know, maybe you guys are saying he's not in the top 100, but I disagree. I think he is a new generation.
Well, David, you left off this resume. You left off his temporary or short-term leadership of the Veterans Organization from which he was suspended from his job, or at least they've had a mutual parting of the ways, based on experience that included some financial problems as well as potentially alcohol-related issues. That's a partial resume. There's some blanks in there.
All right. So didn't George Bush, didn't he have issues when he was younger?
But that's not the answer. That's not the answer, didn't George Bush. We're talking about Pete Hegseth, and we're talking about a man running the biggest, entity in our government.
Well, we had, and also George Bush was elected governor of Texas, and there was a process of observation of George Bush and his capacity to perform for a period of years by voters and in a public way, which hasn't been the case in this other circumstance. But I'm just saying you're providing a partial resume, that's all.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, I do think, though, we do have to go back to a merit system, because if we lower the standards like the state of Wisconsin did, you're doing a huge disservice for the people that would probably not be qualified.
So where did the state, Wisconsin lower the standards? What do you mean?
Well, didn't you see that Governor Evers just had a disagreement with the I forgot her name.
Oh, well, yes, the Department of Education, the head of, wanted to change the testing standards. They didn't. That was different. They weren't changing the standards with respect to the measurement of people. They were going to change the way in which the tests were recorded and measured. But I'm not sure that DEI necessarily correctly implemented involves a changing of standards. And do you understand that to be the case?
Well, again, that's why the whole Asian community sued the, you know, top schools in the country.
That was not DEI per se. That was the acceptance program, and that was affirmative action.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, my brain's about ready to explode. First off, Cassandra and people like Cassandra, this is what you voted for. Just want to remind you of that. Second, again, I'm not picking her out particularly. I'm saying people like her. Also, racism is interwoven into the fabric of our society. Like I've talked about before, even in Hollywood, in the media, you usually portray Black people as criminals, as thugs, as gangbangers, as drug dealers. So that's what people in small town Wisconsin all of a sudden think. That's their experience with Black people. And people need to wake up. What this country seems to want to move to is not a meritocracy. What it wants to move to is a straight commission job. And I'll tell you what, even in a very diverse place like Los Angeles, if you are a salesperson, now I am very, very lucky. I am a white guy. I can walk up to someone's door at 7 o'clock at night and people are not going to fear me as much as they will some Black guy that's, you know, selling internet and cable door to door. This is what DEI was basically to put a rule in place. First off, I don't even think it was done in the government so much as it was done in private corporations because they saw the number of their customers that identified with different people.
Hey, Tom, hang on a second. 855-752-4842. You know, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you guys hang on the phone lines. It's Tuesday. That means Sandy Williams, my co-host, is holding down the fort. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Funky. Down. Nasty.
Hey, listen to the man.
Rap Godfather.
Payback.
Cold Blooded.
Well, Sandy, I thought maybe people might have had a chance to figure out the music, but now James Brown. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, nobody knows the music. Why?
Well, all of it involves a president. That's the funky president. Yep. If you listen, there weren't enough words there. The prior song was the president singing Amazing Grace. That was Barack Obama.
Yeah, I knew I'd do that voice.
And the first song was about FDR. The next couple of songs were about Dwight Eisenhower. So these are all songs that relate to presidents.
All right, Tom, L.A., go ahead. Finish up your thought.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is the Republicans' idea is for it to be a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant straight man. Now, I will tell you, I'm pretty fortunate because of the fact that I can pass as a straight man. But the thing is, the problem is that if you have majority of white people, the good old boys club, if you have that, and everybody is basically an independent owner of a business, or they work straight commission, which is what the Republicans would like. They'd like us to have no salary at all. Then basically, the people that are going to win in that equation will always be the white Anglo-Saxon straight, you know, Protestant man, because there's more of them in the country than there is anybody else. So I just hope people kind of can check their white privilege at the door. The whole idea of DEI was to actually just make people aware of the fact that there is diversity in a workforce, and don't let the majority of straight white men think that they are the only ones in a workforce. And the same thing goes with even white women that give up their power up to white men. This is the problem. So people like CJ and Gary can call in, because they don't have to worry about any type of diversity, equity, and inclusion, because my guess is most of their customers are probably white, and that's where they get their business from. So, I mean, I'm in the same position. I own my own business. I work as an independent contractor. I don't work for a company. But the thing is, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I have the ability to be able to do it, because I am a white dude.
Say, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from DeSac, Prairie DeSac. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks for hanging on. You say what?
Yeah,
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much, guys. That diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's think about that. Diversity. We have a diverse society, and it's getting more diverse by the day. Equity is everybody should be treated equal. Inclusion, including everybody, to be able to prove their abilities, to prove their merits, and this supposed meritocracy that they're looking for. And to, I think Dave from MetCon was talking about Pete Hegseth. Well, the man, you know, talking about his military career, if the man committed adultery during his military career, and they were aware of that, it's, to my knowledge, the military still hasn't removed that prohibition on that, and that's a court-martial offense to commit adultery. So his military career, you know, we could say, well, if you're looking at it objectively then, his military career should be set aside, but he committed a court-martial offense while in the military. I'm not judging based on that, and let's just, you know, you can't lay that aside. And the man has not run an organization of the size, any size at all, that makes him qualified to run an organization as big as the Pentagon. I mean, and they're purging people with merit out of positions all over the place. I mean, I just checked today on the whole firing the inspectors general. Part of it being an inspectors general, I assume, is part of it is in conformity with the code of ethics in terms of for the internal auditors. I know a little bit about that because I was an accountant in my career, and part of that was integrity, objectivity, and competency. I don't know if confidentiality actually applies in the terms for the inspector general, but I don't know. You have to objectively decide if these people are actually can be objective on these matters, if they have an integrity or if they have the competency to run an organization of that size. And I do not think that Pete Hegseth does have that competency. I mean, speaking as, you know, as a layperson that has never run an organization of that size, I mean, that I, you know, worked as an accountant for the state of Wisconsin, but I had to apply my training, you know, to be, in, you know, my integrity and my competency to do my job.
You know what, Mark, the worst thing about it is he's there. Okay, they gave it to him.
Well, I do think that we should all be awake and that we should all do self-education about this DEI thing, because it's getting a bad rap and it's getting it's become a pejorative term without people even understanding what it is or what it might try to accomplish. And what it tries to accomplish is all very meritorious. And I don't believe that in its form it involves affirmative action. I think affirmative action went the way of the Supreme Court decisions in the very cases that Dave was talking about with respect to admissions to schools. And so, you know, I think as a society, we just need to be alert to this and awake to what it is, the underlying motives that might be there for throwing out the baby with the bathwater in terms of expunging DEI and painting it as a pejorative.
Well, they've already done away with it. So let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, girl. Good morning, Sandy. Well, first of all, the guy that talked about Hegseth being so qualified, he also left off the part on the resume where Hegseth said that women are basically a burden on the military. And just because somebody went to Princeton or Harvard or whatever, does not make them qualified to run. I mean, this is $885 billion budget? Come on, this just isn't run by just anybody. So, I don't know. I think we're headed down a really bad path here. And the worst part about this is I think the military is going to eventually be used against we the people.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842 is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my call. Sandy Williams and you. Hang on, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are once again looking to amend the state constitution to limit the governor's partial veto power. Republicans have made multiple attempts to limit those veto powers, including a prior effort at a constitutional amendment and lawsuits challenging specific vetoes, like the partial veto that extended school funding increases for the next 400 years. Governor Tony Evers has criticized the repeated attempts to amend the constitution, saying Republican lawmakers should implement a citizen ballot initiative instead. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents that they can obtain free identification for voting. According to a press release, voters do not need to obtain one of the new Real ID cards in order to vote, even though the Real ID cards will be required for domestic air travel beginning this year. Voters can obtain a valid state ID that can be used at their polling sites for free through the DMV website. The full requirements to obtain a voter ID card can also be found on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. The suspect in a December hit-and-run that led to a high-speed chase has officially been charged. 52-year-old Brian Drain of Spooner was arrested shortly after the alleged hit-and-run in December. According to court documents, when authorities attempted to stop Drain following the collision, he allegedly fled and reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. He was charged with attempting to flee an officer, possession of methamphetamine, hit-and-run, and reckless driving. He is scheduled to appear in court again in February to answer the charges. The city of Ashland will host a public hearing on potential improvements at JFK Memorial Airport on Tuesday. The city is considering improvements like runway rehabilitation, installing new lights and signage, and purchasing more land for runway approaches. They are also considering the purchase of snow removal equipment, updating the terminal building, reconstructing airport parking lots, and preparing a new airport master plan. The hearing will be held during the city council meeting at City Hall on Tuesday at 6 p.m. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, the 2025 Super Bowl is set. It will be the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, which most people don't seem that excited about. The Chiefs will be trying to three-peat, something that has never been achieved in the Super Bowl era. The Philadelphia Eagles scored the most points in an NFL championship conference game ever, but unfortunately, they can't save some of those points for the Super Bowl. Here's hoping for a good game. Timothy Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. The Oscar-nominated actor came under fire for a line he ad-libbed while playing an exercise class instructor, making a joke about recently deceased President Jimmy Carter. The joke was mostly met with cringe, but people who defended him countered it was just a joke. So to summarize, Chalamet, who plays a Nobel Prize winner in a movie, made fun of a Nobel Peace Prize winner on Saturday Night Live. How noble? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A bit of light snow possible early, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy, highs in the mid-30s, wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, a few flakes possible after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy with a low near 17. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn explaining why Brad Schimmel should never be a Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Charles, thank you very much for waiting. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And so my question is, if the right has come up with what they want people to believe DEI stands for, so if we went on their definition of DEI, wouldn't Pete Hegseth be a DEI hire, somebody that's unqualified for a position that he was given?
Well, I mean, I forgot who it was, I think it was Cassandra who kind of echoed those sentiments. And I would say without question that he clearly would fall into that category based on what their definition of it is.
Okay. I was just wondering because I hear people talk about him, like, this guy is nowhere near qualified, but he was given, I mean, we know why he was given that position, but yeah, he's nowhere near qualified to run that agency.
Hey, Charles, thank you very much, as always, for the call. Let's go to Rob from Appleton. Good morning to you, Rob. You say what?
Hey, Earl, good morning. Enjoying the show here.
Thank you.
You know, I once heard somebody joke, there's nothing more amusing than a freshman that's just gone to his first political science class and wants to tell everybody how the world works as if they never heard it before. I see a lot of that in this whole debate about wokeness and DEI. You know, the civil rights movement started back in the 60s, and I'm an older guy. I've worked with Black, Asian, male, female, Indian. It's never been a problem. So why is it suddenly this huge thing as if nobody ever thought about it or considered it before? I've been working, playing, and living next to people of all colors and races for years, and it's never been an issue, and not for anybody I know. So the question is, why is it being ginned up as such a big deal, and why are all these next-tier programs being created that really aren't necessary? We've already got laws against discrimination. We already have laws that require equal opportunity, as it should be. So what's really behind that?
I'm just to understand what the caller is saying. You're saying what's behind having DEI programs, or what's behind the vilification of the DEI programs?
I go back to my initial comment, which is kind of tongue in cheek. And, you know, people, oh, I'm woke. Well, welcome to the world. You know, my generation 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago did away with discrimination. All people are equal, color, race, it doesn't matter. If it's something new that has just happened, and that's the head scratcher for me, is why is it being presented that way? Because it's clearly not. As I said, I've been working, playing, and living next to people of all races and colors.
Do you really think that the world, that the United States is now post-racial? I know that when Obama was elected, there was a lot of exaltation, people saying, well, that we're in post-racial America now, where race doesn't make a difference. But do you really think that race has been erased from people's thought process when they're making decisions in the workplace and elsewhere?
Well, Sandy, I'll let the caller answer. But when you're talking about this, and there are Black people who are hearing this, we know that that's not the case. Okay, even with affirmative action and all of those things, race has never been erased from the lexicon of this nation.
Well, Rob,
go ahead and respond.
Well, first of all, I disagree with your question premise. It's not an either or. It's a sliding scale. It's a matter of progression and getting better and better. And if you think race has ever been erased anywhere in the world, you're fooling yourself. It's a
no, of course. That's my point,
is,
sort of. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
we're at today versus where we're at in this country when I was 15 years old is night and day. I mean,
I agree with that.
It makes like it's a horrible, horrible problem that's never been addressed. B is in B, S is in S. Racial relations have never been better in this country. People my age have never had more friends and relationships and family members of different types than ever.
So why is it being painted as worse? That's my question. And the reason is somebody's trying to make political havoc. It'll never be perfect, Gerald. You're right. It'll never be perfect, my man, because people are imperfect. And nowhere on the planet is racist.
Well, do you think, I mean, the DEI process hardly was political hay. I mean, if anything, it's been there's been a backlash and it's been a negative. And if anything, the concept of woke and DEI was used very probably effectively against the Democrats in the last election. So my sense is that it wasn't a popular movement. And my sense is that DEI got its start in corporate America, not in government America.
Yeah, corporations always have to CYA. I've been part of that before, no question. But like I say, on a feet in the ground basis, I've never known a world with more equality and more where people of all different types could live together in this country than they have now. So why is it being portrayed as worse than ever when that's really not the truth?
Hey, Rob, thank you very much
actually,
for listening.
Actually,
thank you very
Rob,
much for the call.
Just a minute on that, though, because it, just in terms of data, if you look at unemployment in the state of Wisconsin, we have a record low unemployment rate, and yet the unemployment rate amongst African Americans is at a very high level. So, I mean, this equity is anecdotal, and I think we're all experiencing improvements in it. But if you look at things on a macro basis and it just analyzed data, I'm not sure how much better it really is.
All right, let's go to Lori from Shawano. Hey, good morning to you, Lori. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I want to comment on that whole thing with the Obama and the racism. So I was told by somebody who is on the other side that this was days after President Obama had been elected, that somebody they were listening to said that there is no more racism in America because we elected our first black president.
Yes.
But they failed to say that he's also half white because they don't want to even consider that he could possibly be related to them. But so that means that no white male can ever claim racism or sexism because every president up to Obama and since Obama has been a white male. So there's that. If those are the parameters that they're setting, then they can't come back and say, oh, well, now white males are being disadvantaged. The other thing, you're talking about meritocracy. The lady mentioned tacritocracy. And I don't know if you ever heard of the movie Idiocracy, but it was like anything that makes sense is the opposite, which is what we've got now. So the epitome of that kind of is like this guy, this insurrectionist who was released. I don't know how many years he was supposed to do.
22.
But he gets out.
And goes to the Capitol.
Wow. And he could have been alive for 22 years. Instead, he gets out and gets the death penalty. Now, that seems like an idiocracy to me.
Hey, Lori, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Eric from Tulsa, you're up next, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, Earl. Hello, Sandy. Quite the conversation today. I got to say that imagining a whitey-tighty-righty from Stoughton walking the same Milwaukee streets where young black guys hang out is patently hilarious. I think you ought to invite all your audience members to Juneteenth, and we'll see who shows up and who's comfy walking around Milwaukee. Anyways, let's not forget also our current defense secretary is actually a DUI hire, and that the people who fired this guy, the alcoholic sexual abuser recently from his positions of responsibility, are all dyed-in-the-wool GOPers. So there was no liberal, thing behind any of that. Those are all Republicans firing that guy. And also the idea of meritocracy, let's forget, is based on right now first putting, white Christian males in charge of everything. And to think that they understand that folks like this that understand meritocracy that way, putting people in charge and running by that is terrifying, I should say. But finally, I like to say, let's not forget that DEI, notice they never say diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's just DEI, has only replaced woke to fund the police, critical race theory, or CRT, as again, they only say it, and they're eating the dogs as racist dog whistles for
black and brown people are taking over the country because 2043 threatens our white supremacist doctrine and our white dominance. And to the person who said that things are getting better for folks, I'd like to say clearly, I believe that the wait, as they say, the wait, is only another way of saying, give us just one more day on top, please. And racism has evolved as well in order to maintain the socioeconomic status quo, no matter what norms exist currently. And statistically, I'd like to say, before I'm done here, is that the black wealth gap and the black ownership gap is actually greater than it was decades ago.
So no question.
People that are trying to say that things are getting better are only seeing it from their white suburban perspective, I'll say.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Cassandra.
Yeah, hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call again. I just wanted to make another point based upon some of the comments from another caller, especially the one who discussed Hegseth's credentials of graduating from these Ivy League colleges. In the military, that does not matter. I don't know if both you and Sandy recalled under the Obama administration, David Petraeus, he was a retired general and the director of the CIA. And he had an affair.
Yes.
And what was truly problematic for General Petraeus was that there had to be a very in-depth investigation to rule out that the affair did not occur while he was still serving in the military. Because if he had an extramarital affair as a general on active duty in the military, he was subject to criminal prosecution under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And so the military codes and civilian codes on adultery are very, very different. And so as a veteran, I am appalled to have Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of the Department of Defense, because it undermines morale, and I don't approve of it.
Well Sandra, he's supposedly there to clean it up. You know, when you hear what Donald Trump and congressmen and senators are saying, that's what he's there for, to clean up the military.
There were more qualified people than Pete Hegseth. And as I said before, I lean conservative, and even I am willing to say this person is not qualified to sit in that office.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I was going to actually respond to the caller several callers ago from Appleton who wanted to talk about whether DEI was needed or not, that things were so much better. And I think what I would only remind him of is that things got better as the result of a lot of affirmative action.
Yes.
And a lot of affirmative attention. And that things, yes, I think are better. I'm glad that he in particular is matriculating with and has found himself in a much more diverse world. But that's good. But he needs to look that the mirror image of that is, what is the experience of the people who are of color or are diverse, and what is their experience, and is what they are experiencing, is it much better? Because he's got the experience of anecdote, and there sound like it's good experience, but it might be, well, quite limited.
Well, you know, Sandy, I don't have a PhD in many things, but I have a PhD in being a black man in America and understanding where we are. 855-752-4842 is the number. Hang on, guys. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story you've spun, and I'm a lucky one. Cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get off on pain?
We're not. All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my call, Sandy. Sandy, before we go to the phone line, just want to say, man, you know, great discussion, great topic. Callers, right? This is a conversation that needs to be being had across this nation right now, and the depth of it, because of the impact of what it is going to is going to happen because of these decisions that are being made. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning. Yeah, first of all, I got three things to say, if I can remember them all. First of all, excess by any reasonable measure is absolutely unqualified to be where he's at. If he were in the military, he would be drummed out. And here's how I know. I have a very, very dear friend, a woman with whom I have climbed mountains, and she was a pilot, and she was responsible in the first Trump administration. She was one of those responsible for his air security. So, you know, she was very, very good. She had an affair once. She was drummed out of her military service. They just basically threw her away. The next thing is, I have progressive friends and even a couple of conservative friends who, when Trump was elected and some were voting for him, they said, oh, he's not going to do all of that Project 2025 stuff. Well, I sincerely hope that this is an eye-opener for those people. I'm sure that some of the police that voted for this guy all of a sudden are getting some buyer's remorse.
Some of the Latinos.
Oh, I'm sure.
As well.
I'm sure that's the case too. Something like a third of of Latino families in this country, I think, have one undocumented relative in the country. And anyway, finally, we are about to see what the transition into, I think, fascism is like. Maybe not quite a dictatorship, but it's going to be very close. What we have now is, I think it was Mark Twain that called this the best government that money can buy. We have government of the billionaires, by the billionaires, and for the billionaires. And people are, again, about to find that out, too. Some of those who said, yeah, this is not going to happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately.
Hey, Jack, thank you. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, go ahead.
It was on the anniversary, it was yesterday or today, of the Holocaust. At the Holocaust Museum, I believe, it says, we shall never forget. We forgot, because now they're rounding up, as they call them, illegals, and they believe they're hurting our society, much like the German administration thought that Jews were hurting their society. They were rounded up, and first they started with ghettos. And then it led from Jewish ghettos to other places. Well, heaven help us. We are now, in 1 week, are the most insecure we've ever been nationally for national security by the destruction of our allies. All your listeners, Gary and CJ, I don't know how they can even not comprehend.
Hey, Bill, thanks. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, great calls, great conversation. You say what?
Well, I do believe that the disruption in the military is going to be substantial as well. You can't fire a bunch of generals. You can't shake. You know, people have talked about people who support Hegseth have said, well, he's a great disruptor, and that's what the Pentagon needs. Well, the disruption of our military will, in fact, disrupt our military. And we'll see what that means in terms of capability, but and use and how our military is gets deployed in the future, and hopefully it's always only abroad. I think we just all have to be vigilant about what's going on, because vigilance is required, and we're gonna be tested. Our courts are gonna be tested. Our system is gonna be tested, and so will all of us.
You know, Sandy, you and I talked about having this conversation early this morning. We had a whole list of other things to get to, but we didn't get to any of them because clearly people know that something is changing, right? Quickly.
Yeah.
And they have thoughts on it.
Well, and like I said, Project 2025, people, you know, Donald Trump held his nose and pretended he had nothing to do with it because he knew that much within it is very incendiary. And now its implementation is going to be is going to be incendiary, and it's going to be something that we all need to worry about a bit. And it's going to test our courts. It's going to test our system.
Hey, Sandy, thank you for a great conversation as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners. Tell somebody about us so we can continue doing what we're doing. But let somebody else know about the show. And Calvin, thank you. Up next, Matt and Air, Jane Matt and Air, and Greg Bach Matt and Air on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, friend and colleague Maggie Dawn joining us at 10:33 to talk all things Wisconsin. We will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal immigration operations are taking a high-profile public approach. ABC's Erica Tursky in New York says Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was at the arrest of a suspected gang member in New York City.
She arrived in New York City early this morning to accompany personnel from multiple federal agencies, tweeting photos, videos, and a message. And we're quoting here that dirtbags like this will continue to be removed from our streets.
There's uncertainty over aid programs after the White House Budget Office ordered a freeze on all grants and aid aside from Social Security and Medicare in order to evaluate if the spending is consistent with President Trump's policies. Consumer confidence fell for the second straight month in January. That measures Americans' assessment of economic conditions and their outlook for the next 6 months. Shares of NVIDIA trading higher today after the chipmaker lost almost $600 billion in market cap Monday. This is ABC News.
I'm James.